Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome into the Odds and Audibles podcast. Matt Preem, Eric Scopel, Jared Mack. We're all back on the show again. Welcome to the Odds and Audibles podcast. A week or so ago, we did Eric's offensive two deep prediction post signing day, post portal closing kind of finishing type deal. Now we're going to dive into Jared's two deep on the defensive side of the ball, which had to be updated because of multiple additions to the roster since his original one. So we'll get his feedback on a couple of updates there. So Jerry, why don't you start us off with this group? I don't think I need to ask what's hard to make, because there was probably changes that had that, you know, naturally had to be made because of additions. We can start off with the defensive line.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I did this 2 weeks ago originally, and just around 2 weeks ago, and like the day later, Brandon Johnson, you know, transferred to Oregon, or announced that he was transferring to Oregon, and then obviously the big pickup this past week on like the 27th or 28th was Jabbar Muhammad, the Washington transfer at cornerback. So I mean, there were some real questions in the secondary the first time around when I made it, just because there was, you know, a lot of people who were lost, especially in the safety room, but. I think there's now, at least very early, we're still here in January, very last day of it, but it's there's a little bit more clarity. But yeah, no, let me start with the defensive line. As of now, my prediction is a defensive end, we have Jordan Birch is a senior, and then Johnny Bowens is a backup. Nose tackle, Amari Washington is a redshirt freshman, Ben Roberts is a redshirt sophomore as a backup. Defensive tackle, Jamari Caldwell, the transfer from Houston. And then backing him up is Keon Ware-Hudson. Outside on the edge, I divided edge and outside linebacker. Edge, I have Mateo Uiagalelei as his projected starter next season, and then Blake Purchase as his backup. And then outside linebacker, I've got Tatum Tuioti and Amarion Winston as his backup. This one was really difficult because, like I've talked about many times on our podcast, they lose a lot of production. Guys like Taki Taimani, Popo Amavai, Casey Rogers, Brandon Dorlis. You can run through them. And those guys were integral parts of the defense last year. And there's going to be a lot to replace. And there's a lot of question marks on who is going to replace them and where this production is going to come from. Because, you know, guys like Amari Washington and Ben Roberts and Johnny Bowens and Terrence Green and Mikel Gardner, like those guys all redshirted last season. And Ben Roberts, I know, has some playing experience, as does Amari Washington, who got in towards the end of the year. But you're replacing guys who are fifth or sixth year seniors, and who have started for multiple years in their respective career. So I think there's a real question mark on the interior defensive lineman spot. I have Birch as a defensive end, which is kind of different than what he played this last year, kind of that more of a stand-up outside guy. But they moved him around. I expect him to be moved around again, and not in a bad way, but kind of take that Brandon Dorlus role where he can play in the interior, but also can stand up and edge rush. I think that he's a perfect defensive lineman to move into the Big Ten with. And on the edges, there's a kind of a depth thing here. I'm not sure because you're losing Mace Funa, who I know isn't like the most productive player of all time at Oregon, but he did a good job during his career. He was great against the run, which would really help, obviously, going to the Big Ten. He set edges. He was good for one game a year where it was the Mace Funa game, and he did something great in that game where there's a touchdown, an interception, a forced fumble, like a couple sacks, a couple tackles for loss. There was always one game a year where he would thrive. And again, it's a lot of newcomers, like the Tatum Tuioti's, the Amarion Winston, Mateo Uyunglele, Blake Purchase, like a lot of young guys who have some experience, but it's you're just losing a lot of experience with Mace and everything else. So I like it, though. I think it's a good defensive line. I just have some more question marks in the interior than a lot of other things.
In terms of quibbles, it's hard for me to have really any just because so much of this is unknown. Like, I haven't seen Johnny Bowens or Amari Washington really or Ben Roberts play, obviously, the entire true freshman class, which I think they're relying on or hoping to have a couple of those guys be impact players, whether it be Aiden Breland or Jericho Johnson or Xavion Sims or Elijah Rushing. I mean, those are big-time recruits. Oregon had arguably the best defensive line edge class in the country, but where do you place them without having seen them is kind of really challenging. I think Jericho Johnson has a great shot of challenging for nose tackle, you know, whether it's starting second string. I mean, he's already said he thinks he's coming in and he's going to have a chance to push for it. And based upon the fact that he's 360 pounds, I won't doubt the kid, but he's also never taken part in an Oregon football practice. So it's hard to put him ahead of other guys. I think this is going to be a really fun group to follow because we have direct evidence from last season that if true freshmen are ready, they will be given an opportunity to play. And we think about who we've got at the edge and outside linebacker there with Mateo, Blake, and Tatum. None of us really knew how much those guys would play. I think we all thought Mateo would have a role, but the fact that the other two ended up being so involved was a surprise. There's going to be a couple of guys probably from this true freshman class or guys who are redshirt freshmen who pop up and have similar roles. It's just really hard to assess who those guys are right now. So I'm not even going to really push back on much of it, but I do think when we get to fall, you're going to see some true freshmen and a few redshirt freshmen maybe that aren't on this list. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a couple of them crack this too deep when Jared goes through this exercise in August. But right now, before spring and with all the youth, it's just really hard to do this exercise, and I have a hard time pushing back on much of any of it, to be honest.
I would start Keon, but that's the only thing I would do.
Over who?
Amari.
I thought about that, but Keon's more of a defensive tackle rather than a nose tackle. Like, that's where he played last year, and Amari Washington fills that kind of body type that they need at nose that you're losing in Taki Taimani, and Keon just isn't that. So, and Jamari Caldwell is a big boy in his own right, but at Houston, they played him alongside a nose tackle. So he played primarily defensive tackle at Houston. So I think they'll try to do something similar this year.
That's fair.
Yeah. That was certainly an option, but I think they need a big body. And, Dan was really complimentary of his play when I asked him about him at the Fiesta Bowl. He didn't get too many snaps in the Fiesta Bowl, but he got in there towards the end of the year. And I think that he's just the right body type to try to plug some gaps in the Big Ten. So again, I mean, we're basing a lot of this just on like guys who have played 50 to 80 snaps. And so it's tough, but there's still a lot of talent. And I didn't include any of the freshmen in here, the 2024 freshmen, for exactly what Eric said. Like, I don't know. Like, we're going to have to see him. I saw Elijah Rushing for 10 minutes at a practice at the Fiesta Bowl where I'm like, hey, he's here. He's on the team, when they didn't do anything real. So we'll see. Spring will have a lot more answers. I'm going to move on to the linebacker room, which I thought was.
Well, I thought one thing I wanted to ask. Go ahead. One thing, just because we did it last time, was the transfer portal element of, is there more need here?
Oh, right.
And the reason I kind of wanted to circle, we probably don't need to do it too much else going forward, but this one in particular was one where I know going into the portal season, we were like heavy needs. Where are you at, Jared, in terms of, because you were saying, I think five or more back then. Yeah. They've added one in Caldwell. Do you still think it's like take three or four, or where? Because I probably backed off a little bit and think like, if I was in their shoes and you had the space to do it, I'd like a Casey Rogers kind of Swiss Army knife guy who can play all over the place. And then like one really proven pass rusher who has 10 career sacks from 3 years somewhere else or something would be like my hypothetical additions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still think that they need more. Again, there's just a lot of question marks. It's like the nose tackles that I'm predicting to be in the two deep are Ben Roberts and Amari Washington. I talked about Amari Washington. He didn't play that many snaps this year, and neither did Ben Roberts. Ben Roberts played a little bit in 2022, but that was kind of only out of necessity. I think that they need some more interior guys, like you said, Eric, like a Casey Rogers. I think they need some big boys up front, like to fill in a nose tackle. I don't know. The scholarship distribution is going to be interesting to see how they do it over spring. And I don't know how many impact portal guys are going to come on the defensive line during spring football. That's the other thing. But I wouldn't hate seeing it. I think they need a couple more guys.
Yeah. Add one more. Defensive lineman play the nose tackle position.
All right. Moving on to linebackers. I thought that this was just the easiest for him to do. Justin Jacobs at the MAC, and then Jerry Mixon as his backup. And then money was Jeffrey Bossa, and then Devin Jackson and his backup. This is just pretty clear cut. Once Jacobs and Jeffrey Bossa returned or announced their return to Oregon for the 24 season, like, that was your starting linebacker room. And, you know, I like what I saw from Jerry Mixon this past year. I think that there's going to be, obviously, they add three talented true freshmen in Braden Platt, Dylan Williams, and Kamar Mathudi. I think obviously Platt's going to be more of a MAC linebacker. He's built, he's 6'2" and like 220, 230 pounds. So that's like right down a MAC linebacker alley. Dylan Williams, I think he can grow into that kind of role, but I think of him more as a money. Same with Kamar Mathudi. I think of him as a money as well. But I think the backups are good. I thought that, Devin Jackson gets some real run. You still have Bryce Betcher back there. Once Jacobs came back from injury, though, his snaps really cut down this past season. So you're looking at Jerry Mixon taking on a really big role after Jamal Hill, graduated, is now out of eligibility. But I still think that, if Jacobs and Jeffrey Bossa could stay healthy, I don't really anticipate them leaving the field too often.
I am still, I know he had some moments, I'm still awaiting Devin Jackson's like, oh my gosh, here he is moment, or a game or so where that happens. And I don't know if it's going to be that something that happens this season because of how highly I think of Bossa. And how highly I think of what we saw from Jacobs down, especially like the last four or five games of the season. I thought he played really well. So, I don't think there's much in terms of changes to make. I will be very curious once again what the true freshman's impact will be, because again, these are really highly regarded prep prospects, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if one of these guys moves their way into the two deep and just becomes too good not to play. But identifying who that would be is really hard. It's also strange because the post All-American game rankings were really pretty big shifts for two players. Like Dylan Williams went soaring and Braden Platt really plummeted. Matt could probably kind of fill in some of the gaps there, 'cause I know he talked to one of the guys who put together the rankings, but, before the All-American game stuff and everything I'd heard, I would have thought Platt was the undoubted most likely to make an impact. And now it's like they're kind of all on even footing from a rankings perspective. And from what I've heard, Dylan Williams actually might be the guy to make an impact early. Matt, do you have any thoughts on kind of the ranking, the recruiting stuff? And then also, I guess, on what Jared just ran through.
I guess from the depth chart, I have no problems with it. That's what I would do. The Platt, he was undersized and underweight when he went into the All-American game. So that's why he dropped. Also wasn't as good as other players at his position, which is understandable.
Yeah.
It makes sense for why a drop. Mathudi dropped or had slight change, but it wasn't anything serious. And then Dylan Williams moved up because of his play at the Poly Bowl. I think all three of them could play. I think all three of them could redshirt. I think Devin Jackson and Jerry Mixon and Bryce Betcher could have the backup roles completely secured, and I think they all could lose their jobs. I don't think there's anything certain behind Bossa and Jacobs, and I guess for Oregon, if you're lucky or if you're fortunate that you have two studs that start at linebacker. So, like, as long as they stay healthy, they should be on the field majority of the snaps.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. Like, there's you come into the season in the Big Ten as one of the better linebacker rooms. And, you know, Jacobs, when he was fully healthy heading into the season last year, it looked like he was going to be the starter. And, you know, obviously he suffers an injury during fall camp and, you know, gets sidelined for the first 7 or 8 games of the year. But you saw what he could provide. And him going back to the Big Ten as a former Iowa linebacker, I think that really helps their defense, just knowing the physicality and his size. He's just, like, by far the biggest linebacker in the room. So I think that helps their defense overall. Transfer needs, you guys think we need any?
No, probably not. I mean, I guess if there's like a super experienced veteran guy, but who's coming over to be a backup? So I think they're fine because I think the future of the room is because most likely Boston and Jacobs are done after this season. I think the future of the room is probably there with Mixon, with Jackson, with all the true freshmen we talked about. So I don't see a need, and I don't know if there's really a scholarship available for this room either, because you've two positions and they've already got like about 8 start, you know, scholarship caliber players. I'll include Betcher because I know he's not on one technically, but yeah, I don't think so. If there's a perfect person that shows up, maybe, but I think they're good.
If a player the quality of Jamal Hill or better is available, then yes. If not, no. I don't think they have a guy today that's better than Jamal Hill on its roster. And they played 3 linebackers pretty much predominantly. Those were the 3. So if you can upgrade your third guy, absolutely. But like what Eric said, I don't think that there's going to be that guy that's out there. And I do think you could sell the idea that, hey, we're just going to rotate these 3 guys. Yeah. And that could bring a established player to Oregon. I mean, they're going to be a title contender. They're, you know, elite defense. Dan Lanning's reputation is extremely high. You know, we've seen it at other positions where guys are willing to roll in and rotate, and this is another position that does that. So if you find a third, do it, but I don't think there will be one.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be, like you said, Matt, a guy of Jamal Hill's quality. And I think Jamal, like, certainly during the middle of the season showed that you know, he would probably be a starting linebacker for a lot of teams. And I don't know how many like elite teams he would start for, but you know, we all had a lot of question marks about him moving from safety to linebacker, and he performed really well during the first half of the season before Jacobs got back. And it would be a tough sell for somebody to be like, yeah, no, I'm going to leave a starting job to be a third or to be like the rotational third guy. But if there's a guy to do it, it's probably Dan, just with his history and his ability to coach linebackers. But I'm interested to see who's going to emerge as that third guy. Like we've said, and, you know, could be Devin Jackson. It could be Jerry Mixon. They rotated Jamal and Justin last year, so that makes me feel like it'll be a Mac linebacker. So it could be Jerry Mixon, and it could be, you know, one of the 3 newcomers. But we'll have a much, much better idea come spring ball and the end of that.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, 2 absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying.
It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
All right, moving on to corners. I think that's my next one.
Yep.
All right. This one was the change just because Jabbar Muhammad, like I said at the very beginning, he announced his commitment to Oregon, and I have him as a starter, just a day one starter. I have him at the field cornerback position with Cam Alexander as his backup, and then I have Jaleel Florence at boundary with Dante Manning at his backup. I think Muhammad was an easy day one starter. We all saw what he did last year for Washington, specifically what he did against Troy Franklin, and then specifically what he did in their playoff stretch, in the conference championship game against Texas and then against Washington. I wrote about him a little bit. I think over the last four games or the last three games of the year in that playoff stretch, he was targeted 9 times. He allowed 3 receptions, and all 3 of them came against Texas, and he only allowed 2 yards after contact. So Muhammad is a true island kind of corner who's great in coverage, who's got length, who's got speed, who's got agility, who can make tackles. I think that he's a day one starter for Oregon. The question was, does Oregon go with Cam Alexander, who was darn good at UTSA as the boundary corner, or do they go with Jaleel Florence, who was a starter when healthy all year last year? I think they'll go with Jaleel. I think that his skill set is pretty good for the boundary. I like what he can do out there with his size. He's like 6'1", 6'2". He's got a long wingspan. He's athletic. He certainly had moments last year where he could be considered somewhat of a shutdown corner. Like, he had moments of it, but it wasn't as consistent as what Kyrie Jackson was when they were both 100%. So I think it's a good 1-2. And then Dante Manning, ups and downs. I think it's kind of as simple as that. Where against Oregon State, he was tremendous. He's really physical. Maybe that helps more in the Big Ten against bigger receivers, but a lot of ups and downs. But I think that's a really quality backup cornerback to have in this cornerback room that has an incredible amount of talent now.
Jabbar Muhammad is probably the best corner Oregon faced all season. Acquiring a player like this is like pretty significant. I think he's an undoubted starter. I'm with you on the Alexander versus Florence thing. I would go Florence. I think you laid it out pretty well. I think there's a level of Jaleel isn't losing his starting job unless someone takes it from him, and maybe Cam Alexander is good enough, but right now it's hard to make that case. I also think, I don't know what you think of this, Jared and Matt, but if you go Muhammad and Alexander, that's two kind of undersized-ish corners by today's standards. Like, at least they're both sub 5'11", sub 6 foot.
That was the other thing. Like, yeah. Florence is, 6'1", 6'2". Like, he's got the length.
I just like having a little versatility in terms of sizes to match up with different, skill players that you would face. So I'm into that. And then there's so many, I don't want to say so many, but there's a lot of other names behind this group to talk about potentially. I don't think I would put any of them ahead of who's on here just because I think that's a pretty experienced and talented foursome that you have. But we haven't mentioned Nico Reed, who I think we can talk about in a moment. We haven't talked about Roderick Pleasant. We haven't talked about Ife Obadegwu, who is a huge riser, by the way, in the 24/7 Sports post-bowl rankings, or post-All-American bowl rankings. We haven't talked about Dakota Fields. I mean, there's just a lot of young Dalen Austin, perhaps. There's just a lot of young corners that we haven't really placed here who, I'm not going to be surprised if any of those guys, soar up this list and end up pushing to start or something. But right now, it's just really hard to make those sort of proclamations. But, Obadegwu being a top 50 recruit, basically, kind of changes a little bit of the calculus of how I'm kind of thinking about him. And I know that's silly that the number next to him changes that much, but let's be real. We're not full-time talent evaluators, and if the people we trust say this guy's made a bunch of progress and goes from being the 120th best player in the country to being like a top 50 player or top whatever, he's 53rd, that kind of changes the way I'm kind of looking at him. So, but I wouldn't change anything, but I just think there's a lot of names to know, kind of similar to defensive line.
Jaleel Florence's availability for spring football will dictate a lot of this. He is hurt and he has a pretty significant brace on his leg. He's in crutches. Is that something that he can recover from in a couple months? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think Cam Alexander's addition was probably going to happen regardless of Florence's availability or not for next season. Is he going to be fully healthy? Is he going to be here for spring ball? I don't know. But it certainly is an added insurance that he is here. I think those are your three corners. I don't think you could argue one of them could start over the other one, and I don't think it'd be that big of an issue. Those are going to be your three main guys. And if Dante Manning's your fourth, who I still believe could maybe change positions to solve a problem that the next position we're going to talk about, but that would allow some of your younger guys that you talked about, Eric, to move up as well. So, but your three main guys are Jabbar, Alexander, and Florence. And that's a pretty darn good group, and you should feel confident going into the games that you play in the Big Ten.
Can I pitch an idea really, really fast here, Jared? Which is,
of course,
Nico Reed came to Oregon last year having been an outside corner, and he basically played slot corner throughout the year, which means he was lined up kind of against guys like Tez Johnson based upon his size. It's possible, and nothing is, I don't have any background information, but it wouldn't be surprised if like Nico Reed followed Demetrius Martin to Michigan State.
Yeah.
If you think about Nico's career, he was at Colorado with Demetrius, followed him over to Oregon. Wouldn't be surprised if he went to Michigan State. That's not reporting. That's just putting a couple things together. If that happened, I wondered if they would make in specific packages just to get Alexander out there more, kind of the Nico Reed slot corner, just based upon his size, as a hypothetical way to get these all on the field a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, I think they have their slot corner. They have their star nickel guy already in Brandon Johnson, but we'll get to that in a second. Like, I don't know. Like, I think Nico kind of split his time, if I can remember the snaps correctly in my head, where it was he got like 100 or 120 more snaps at wide corner than that nickel corner. And
I thought that shifted because of the injuries is why.
That's what I was just going to get to. It was more injury related than like personnel related. But I think that Alexander only played wide corner as well, like at UTSA.
I know. I think Nico Reed did the same thing at Colorado before coming over. Right. That's why I brought it up.
But the size could certainly be beneficial for somebody to be like that slot corner if they're going to, you know, if they run dime more than they do nickel.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It's so early to tell. The only other thing I was going to mention was amongst the younger fellas. In my original two deep, which I did 2 weeks ago, like I said, I had Sione Lalea as a backup, the junior college prospect, the number two overall junior college prospect, number one overall cornerback junior college prospect. He's got height. He's got speed. Mm-hmm. He's got athleticism. He has everything you'd want in like kind of a Madden created player corner. And whether that will translate into the college, the Division I Power 5 Oregon Big Ten college, I don't know. But I kind of liked him as that second, second boundary corner behind Florence. And originally I had Alexander as a starter on the field side with Manning as on the field side as well. But his speed and his length, I think, are something that people will take notice of if he sees the field, because it's not often a guy that size is able to move that quickly. And with his length, I think he's the definition of like what I said, like a Madden corner, like long arm, long limb, like can get out there and deflect passes. So I think he's like him and Ife Obadegwu, who I've loved for a long time now, are like the two guys I think most from the freshman class who I could see immediately participating. But again, you have guys like Dakota Fields out there too, who are pretty darn good in their own right.
There's so much talent here. That's the thing that stands out. Like, there's a ton of former 4- and 5-star recruits or guys who've been really good players at other schools.
Yeah, I don't, off the top of my head, I can't remember a cornerback room as deep and talented, at least like on paper, as talented as this one is this year. But you guys have a much deeper memory of Oregon football than I do.
Matt, was it 2012 or 13 where they had Troy Hill, Ifo, and Terrence Mitchell? It was a really, really good.
Pretty sure it was 2013 because I remember Mitchell went pro.
That's right.
It was kind of like, whoa, what are they going to do? And that's what allowed Troy Hill to become who he was and get a draft pick as well. So they've had some corners. I mean, Lenore and Thomas Graham were pretty darn good too together. Sure. And I think Ugo Amadi was a corner that they shifted to safety with that group. So that was another one that was like three guys. Thomas isn't in the league anymore, but three guys that were NFL guys too. So, but this is, to Jared's point, like this is,
it's right there.
It's right there. It's a loaded unit.
I thought about that, like that 17, 18, 19 range. And I just don't think they had the guys. Like there's legitimately like 8 or 9 cornerbacks in this room who were highly touted prospects. And
yeah,
again,
depth. You're right.
From a depth perspective. And now we're nitpicking a little bit. But again, it's like just on paper, because you still need to play the games. This is why you play the games. It's like you could be a 3- or 4-star, but if you're good on the field, that's what matters the most. Okay. Moving on.
No portal needs.
Take a break.
No portal needs. No portal needs. This is, they're fine. Yeah. They got too many guys almost.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think so. We'll see in spring ball. Matt, do we want to take a break or we want to just go straight through?
Just go straight through.
All right. We're going straight through. On to safety, another position group that changed just a little bit from the first time I did it. As of now, I have boundary safety being Tysheem Johnson with his backup, the true freshman, and Aaron Flowers. I think the only true freshman to make my two deep. Free safety, I have Kobe Savage, the Kansas State transfer. And then backup is Tyler Turner as a redshirt freshman. And star safety, I have Brandon Johnson, the transfer from Duke, followed by Nico Reed, the former transfer from Colorado. I had to do some shifting around here because I think safety is still like there are some question marks. This and interior defensive line, I had the biggest difficulties, I would say, kind of figuring out what this is going to look like. I decided to move Tysheem Johnson in the boundary. He hasn't played a lot of boundary in his career, like just a little bit. And sometimes when you go by the PFF snap counts, the alignment of where they are on the field is kind of messed up. It's not really true. But that being said, of the personnel that they have, it has to be Tysheem Johnson who moves to boundary. And then Kobe Savage as your deep, your free safety. And then Brandon Johnson as your star safety, because that's all he played at Duke. And you could probably move Brandon Johnson to that boundary safety spot. But what he does so well, this is Brandon Johnson from Duke, is get after the quarterback. He had 2 sacks this past year and 8.5 tackles for loss as a safety. And then the year prior, he had 5.5 sacks and 6.5 tackles for loss. So, and I really liked when Oregon would blitz Tysheem Johnson. You know, he had that big sack on Tyler Shuck in game 1. That was kind of, or game 2, excuse me. That was kind of like his introduction to the Oregon fan base. Like, hey, we're going to pressure off the edge. And boy, is Brandon Johnson really good at that. So again, Oregon last year did lots of blitzes with Bennett Williams in that boundary safety spot. And you could put Brandon Johnson there and have him kind of do the same thing. But I just kind of like Tysheem Johnson going there. There's not really any rhyme or reason. I really wish I had a good, sound, logical explanation as to why. But I think I just like Brandon Johnson more as closer to the box and closer to the line. And then Tysheem Johnson at boundary and then Kobe Savage at free. But I still have some question marks, and this is going to be another group that come spring, we're going to finally have a much better understanding of what the position group looks like.
This room needs a Brian Addison, someone a little bit more explosive who can cover range. I mean, you know, Kobe Savage, having talked to the K-State guys a little bit, they're really high on him, by the way. I think he's a really high character kid. Sounds like the family's great. Had a lot of positive things to say about him as a player, and especially how he plays in space. But it sounded like coverage wasn't like his strongest suit. I know he's coming off an ACL tear, I think in 22, according to I think what he said or what I've read. So maybe that improves, but I do get a little worried here about, and then you also think like what's on Oregon's schedule. Maybe there's nothing to be worried about, but a team that would have theoretically have a Washington type pass attack could really target some of these safeties, I think, hypothetically. Again, I don't know if that exists, but you look through it and there's a lot of like sub 6 foot guys who are good around the box, but haven't played a lot deep. So I'll be interested to see how this kind of shakes out. I will also wouldn't be surprised if this is a spot to look at adding a transfer. My only concern then is then you got Tysheem and Brandon Johnson, the two Johnsons battling for star minutes. And I think those guys are probably going to be two of your three or four best defensive backs next year. So I don't know. I'm with Jared. I have a hard time kind of understanding all of how this is going to play out, but I like a lot of the players here. And obviously this is the position, as Jared noted, where you have the least depth at the back end, because as Jared listed, Aaron Flowers and Tyler Turner are two guys who are both going to be freshmen. Tyler was on the roster this last year and played like 30 snaps, and Flowers is a true freshman. That's not super inspiring in terms of confidence. So maybe adding a portal player makes sense just to get a little more depth. But yeah, this is the weirdest one for me, Jared, just having gone through this exercise myself a couple of days ago. It feels like there's a piece missing, or there's a player on the roster already who's going to factor more into this that we haven't talked about. Right. I don't know. It just, there's something. So I feel like we don't have the full picture here right now.
Jared says it in the story of cross-training DBs. I think the spring is the solution to your guys' concerns at the back end. They have the body types of Brian Addison on the roster. Sione Luau, I can't say his last name, Sione, and Kingston Lopa. And I also think Dante Manning fits that position as well. I think we see one of those three get cross-trained as the backup to Tysheem. And then when it's a very clear passing situation, like we saw previously with Brian Addison, you know, he came onto the field and that safety position either came off or he played a different spot. So it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if it works. One of those three guys plays the safety position. Tysheem goes back down to his star and the other Johnson comes off the field or plays somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And Lopa is already a safety. So he'll be back there to start anyways. So I think we directly asked Dan that at his national signing day, if I remember correctly, because there was like
Hampton's told me that, he's starting out as a safety.
Yeah.
And it's his intention to keep him there his entire career.
It would make sense, and you're right. I wrote about that, and it's like those are the guys. But again, you're relying on a true freshman, and you're relying on Laulea, who's a guy who played junior college, obviously, and I had him in my original 2D for the cornerbacks. But it's still a guy who was a cornerback in junior college and not a safety. So, but I do think that there's a good chance one of those guys can emerge, because that's exactly what they need. There's just no height here. Everybody's under 6 feet, at least on the depth chart that I produce, except for Aaron Flowers, who again is a true freshman. And I think that kind of leads us into if there needs to be a transfer portal addition, which I don't know if there needs to be, but it kind of goes to the defensive line. It's like, if you can, like somebody who's like 6'2" or taller who can be rangy would be nice. It'd be a good addition to the room.
I think this one is most dependent on spring practice. Because to Matt's point, if they cross-train a bunch of guys, and like I still think Kamari Terrell, Dalen Austin are guys who've kind of cross-trained already. Maybe one of those guys really fits here and is an impact player. Those are both guys I know the staff was high on when they came in, both really athletic, a little bit more size. I think if they come out of spring being like, okay, we've tried half a dozen guys, because they have that many guys probably to do this with. We've tried half a dozen guys. Three of them seem capable, and all we need is one or two of them to be contributors this fall. then I don't think there's a reason to take anybody. But if you come out of it being like, I don't really know if we have that many guys, I think you owe it to yourself to grab one more experienced player who's 6 foot two or taller, has a little bit of size. And again, our part is projecting what's even in the portal after spring. This is the first time we really had this specific breakdown of how everything works out. And I have no idea what spring post-spring portal window is going to look like. Are there going to be high-end players leaving at that point? Or is it going to be just what I expect it to be, which is that's the time of year where they kind of push out the guys that aren't going to be on your team. And like, I expect Oregon will probably end up shedding 6 or 7 players at that point. And those aren't players that would go to a better school. Those are players that are going to end up going down a level. So I don't really know how many, I don't know how many guys are even going to be worth taking at that point of the year, I think is the other part of this.
I think if you have the room and you can find a guy that's fits your body type that you guys have described and has playing experience at the collegiate level, you take him. And who cares what an underclassman thinks?
Yeah.
Because as you guys have made it clear, like, you don't want to play an underclassman, go find one that's an upperclassman. If that guy's available. If he's not, roll with what you got. But like what you said, Eric, a lot of this will dictate upon what happens in spring football. If they're comfortable or if they're not comfortable.
The last thing I'm going to say is maybe it is Flowers, because you know he made the rounds of some of these All-American games, and you know his ranking went up, you know, pretty significantly on 24/7. Maybe it's him. Maybe he's the answer there. He's not, you know, he's not 6'5" or anything, but you know, maybe he's the pass down guy. Because if there is a position where, you know, you're going to start a true freshman on the defense, safety is not a bad one to start with, at least if it's a free safety. And the other one, you know, like edge rusher. But maybe Flowers is a guy. I don't know. They have 3 like legitimate starting safeties now through the transfer portal after adding Brandon Johnson. And then I'd feel pretty comfortable if Nico Reed was thrown in there in like a whatever type of situation, because I've seen him play and he's a good like slot corner. But now it seems like you have 3 or 4 slot corners. So I don't know. There's just, this is again, like a big question mark to me.
I do think there will be some impact of Demetrius Martin going to Michigan State eventually. Yeah. And I don't know exactly who follows, but I would anticipate at least a guy or two doing that. That's not reporting it. That's just kind of common sense of this. These rooms have a ton of players. Martin is probably going to want to improve Michigan State's defensive back room. And there's probably a player or two that he recruited here that he can convince will have opportunities to play more at Michigan State than here. Cause there are really talented young players at both especially at corner to pick from. And Nico Reed, the reason I brought his name up earlier was just because he's already transferred with me one time. So a second time wouldn't be super crazy. And he's also not like a Pacific Northwest kid. He's from Texas. So
I think there's probably just a more likelihood that someone leaves just in general than following me. I mean, if that was the case, Cole would have gone to Michigan State, played for dad, played for an alma mater, find a way on the field and the defense there. I do think there's a possibility someone like Nico Reed could transfer, but Michigan State's going to be garbage next year. They're not going to be good. So if you've got 1 year left of eligibility, you do what Jabbar Muhammad did. You do what Cam Alexander did. You do what a lot of these guys that have transferred from Washington have done. And they go pick a school that's going to be really good next season for their last year. I would be surprised if a senior openly chose to go to play for a school that's going to fight to be 500. Maybe that's Nico Reed's best option. I don't know if he does transfer, but I think it's more possible that guys just go somewhere else than follow Martin.
Could be. Yeah. Again, I'm not porting anything. I'm just
trying
to figure it out. Cause there are probably going to be some departures from that group.
Just based on
numbers. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after the Muhammad edition, it's like, hey, we're going to take this guy. We know that he's damn well proven, like, and you guys aren't going to play. So you either stay or go. And there's probably going to be some guys who are leaving.
It's same thing at the defensive line position with Caldwell. Like, we've already seen one freshman Pomme transfer. We'll probably see one or two more between the two groups of the 23 and the 24 class in the next year. Like,
just the way it is.
Yeah. That's life today in college football. All right, it's going to do it for us here on the Ots and Audibles podcast. You can go read Jared's story on duckterritory.com for more in-depth coverage on that. Go to duckterritory.com for more recruiting coverage, for basketball coverage. Jared's got his baseball stuff going already. Softball will be starting up there as well. Before you know it, spring football will be here. April 27th is the spring game. Should have mentioned that at the very beginning. But we'll have a lot more coming up before then. So until then, you've been listening to the Ots and Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Peace.